Good to see you this morning. One of the highlights of my week is looking out and seeing your shining, smiling faces. So I'm glad that you're here. And good to have Linda with us this morning, a friend from way back. And it's always good to reconnect with good friends. And man, it's just good to see all of you guys. I appreciate you being here. I thought the cold weather might hinder a little bit, but it hadn't hindered too much. So I appreciate that. I told Brother Ray just a minute ago, I got in my truck and I had turned it, I had used the remote start, let it run for about 5 minutes, but when I got in the truck, I wished I had done that like 20 minutes, because it was cold. And so anyway, I'm glad that you're here and in Grace Walk, and we are in John chapter 18. Last week, we kind of went through verses 1 through 12, John chapter 18. And as you know, we're coming off this wonderful chapter in chapter 17 where our Lord prayed for himself and his disciples and for future believers. And then we come into this scene here where he leaves his the location where he was, and he crosses over the Kidron Brook, and he goes over to the Mount of Olives, and he attaches himself to one particular olive location there called Gethsemane, and he's with his disciples, and Judas shows up. Judas shows up with hundreds of soldiers, maybe as many, we don't know exactly, but maybe as many as 400 or 500 soldiers he shows up. And our Lord, now John doesn't record this. You remember John describes this whole scenario from the standpoint that God, the Son of God, is deity. Everything's pretty cut and dried, and God is in control, and that's the way John presented this whole thing. Now Matthew, Mark, and Luke presented it from a human standpoint. So therefore, you read over in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke Gospels, and you will see our Lord's thoughts of fear and his thoughts, his cries of agony, and his, because they were presenting his human side. But in John, he presents the side of Jesus Christ as being God, as being deity. And so why is that important? Why did I bring up that last week, and why did I bring up that up this week? I'm starting to stutter again, Linda. Goodness. Anyway, the reason I did that was because it's awfully important to us to have John's perspective in our life. Nothing in our society right now, nothing in our life right now surprises God. He's in control. And when John gives us this picture of what's going on with Jesus in Gethsemane and these soldiers coming up on him and all. And in fact, Luke tells us this right here. When the soldiers and when Judas came up to the Lord, the Apostle Luke records that Jesus said this right here, "Be ye come out as against a thief with swords." Judas had betrayed him already. He had betrayed him. And of course, we read last week how Jesus, when he said, "Whom seek you? Whom seek ye?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth." The men fell back. See, this is all from the standpoint of John's perspective that God was in control of this. This was a flim-flam court. There was no justice to any of this. And yet our Lord had to go through it for me and you. He had to go through it, and he wanted to go through it. There was no forcing in any of this. And so here we are. We're going to start in verse number, as soon as I get over there to it. Sometimes I just need to stop talking and start reading, don't I? Let's start in verse number 15. "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple," we know that to be John, okay? "Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. denial number one. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him into him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter had cut off. Remember, Peter had sliced off an ear. And John doesn't tell us, but we find out in Mark that Jesus reached down Luke's the doctor. So from a doctor's perspective, the apostle Luke, Dr. Luke, reached down and picked up that ear and put it back on. So this cousin or this brother, who knows who this is, the kinsman the Bible calls him. He says, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these few minutes to get back into your word, Lord, and look at this. And God, would you help us to not only see it from a mental perspective, Lord, but help us to understand how much our Lord was in control. And God, give us a faith to rely upon that when our life seems to go nuts and haywire and things happen in our lives. God, help us to realize that you're still in control. Nothing is surprising you whatsoever in the least. In Jesus' name, amen. It was the week of Christmas, and I know I've already told you what happened on Christmas Day at our house, but at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day, we had a pipe that had been frozen, and it burst, and it was right there in the wall, and water was spewing out at a very high force out into the front yard, and into my office at the same time. This was 3 p.m. All the kids were coming over at 5. And I had been studying John 17 and John 18. And when I walked down the hall, because I heard something, when I walked down the hall and I pushed open my office door and put my foot on that carpet that we just bought a year ago. Goodness. Anyway, I pushed my door open and put my foot in and saw the flood in my office and books wet. Just the whole, we had damage on all the shelves and everything. For some reason, John 18 popped into my mind because I'd been studying it, obviously. And after I initially got the water shut off and you just start panicking and all these kinds of things. But there was a calm that came over me and says, you know what? God knew this was going to happen. He's probably judging my response right now, And it gave me a sense of peace. Here our Lord is on trial. And here he's being denied by his closest, one of his closest apostles, his friend, his follower. And yet, he didn't hold that against Peter. Why? Because God knew it was going to happen to begin with. God knows we're going to fail when we fail, and yet he doesn't put us on the shelf, and he doesn't do it. He doesn't send us away to be rejected. And sometimes we're chastised now, and sometimes there's a period where we have to realize that in our life is about to happen. Our Lord uses those things, but he uses us. He doesn't put us away. He didn't put Peter away. Peter in the book of Acts there preached that sermon, and the Holy Spirit used him to convert 3,000 souls to the Lord after denying the Lord here in John. So verse 15 says, this is the first denial, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That's the writer of this book. That's John. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, apparently John, for some reason, had free access into the circle. Maybe he, in his background, he had dealt with these individuals, but Peter stayed outside and John went inside, as it says in verse number 16. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple. So he's inside, but he's going to go out now, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. The other gospels tell us that Peter's accent, the way he talked, gave himself away. You sound like a Galilean. We West Texas have an accent too, And it took me years to develop it. I came here from East Tennessee and I had a hillbilly accent. But Peter's accent gave him away. And so the girl that was watching the door says, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And he said, "I am not." Oh my goodness, folks, just the day before, Peter, when our Lord was saying he was going someplace and they couldn't follow, Peter jumped up. You remember that? Peter jumped up and says, "Lord, I'll follow you anywhere." What did our Lord say? "Peter, before morning, you're going to be denied me three times." So the Lord knew him far more than Peter knew himself. Now, notice how little it can take for us to deny our Lord when we're being controlled by the flesh. Why does Paul in the book of Ephesians and Galatians and all through the Corinthians letters, why does Paul tell us to live by the Spirit, be controlled by God's Spirit? Because when we don't, we can do silly things like Peter's done here. We can deny the Lord. We can make choices in our life that do not honor him. He wants us to live by his word. He wants us to live by his Spirit. And verse 18 continues, "And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, 'I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them, because they know what I said.'" Now, you know, what I see all through this situation here with our Lord is he keeps his dignity through the entire thing. You know, they're the ones panicking, and we're going to see Pontius Pilate gets pretty nuts here in just a few minutes. But our Lord keeps his dignity, even in verse number 2. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. So our Lord kept his dignity even when he was slapped by this soldier here. And he says, "Look, if I deserved it, that's fine. But what have I done wrong?" You see, this was a sham court from the get-go, because he hadn't done nothing wrong. What had been decreed from ages ago, that our Lord would be put to death by deception. And this is what the Jews have practiced in their life, deception. Our Lord came to their life, he showed them their deception, and they couldn't place their faith and trust in him, so they decided to kill him. Verse 25 continues, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew, just like our Lord said it would, back just a couple of chapters ago. And then verse 18 continues, and it says, They lead him before Pilate. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas. Now Caiaphas was the high priest. Annas was the father-in-law of the high priest. And Annas was also a former high priest. But now we're going to go to Pilate. And Pilate's not a Jew. He's a Roman governor. He's been put in place as a Roman leader. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should not be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, there's something I want you to see here, and that's these Jews, how pious they are, how religious they're trying to be here. Here it's the Passover, and they know they couldn't defile themselves by going into the hall of judgment. And yet, Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. He's why the Passover was instituted by God to begin with. And yet they can't go in with him to the hall of judgment because they've got to go get ready for the Passover. I guess what I'm trying to say is we can be religious in our life and yet be so far away from the Lord. These Jews were religious, and they were religious flimflams. They were fakes. They were deceivers, and they didn't care about anybody but themselves. And our Lord came to the scene, and he showed them their ways, and they didn't like it. And so verse 29 continues, "Then Pilate went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Now the Jews are just hiding behind, you know, they just got through maybe 4 or 5 chapters ago telling John that they weren't under anybody's control. And now they're saying we can't put anybody to death because we're under Roman control. And if you'll remember way back in Psalms 22, the crucifixion was prophesied, not stoning, not any other way. Stoning was what the Jews did. Remember what they did to Stephen? They stoned him to death. Well, crucifixion was a custom of the Romans. And here it says in verse 32 that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. So when you go home, open up Psalm 22, and you can see a description of a death by a crucifixion. Then we continue, and Jesus says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee?" Now, what have we seen in the book of John from the very first chapter? We have seen John present the gospel to us. We have seen John present Jesus Christ to us. And his biggest goal for us as readers was to make sure our heart is right with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we're sincere. You can go back to the last two chapters of John, and John says, all these things were written for one reason. What is that reason? That you believe on the name of the Son of God. And here the Son of God is standing before this Roman leader, and the Roman leader says, are you the King of the Jews? And here our Lord starts dealing with him. He says, well, Pilate, is that what you think? Or are you just hearing this said by other people? He starts dealing with this man. I think Pilate was, he was between a rock and a hard place. Here he had the Son of God. He had Jesus of Nazareth in front of him. And the Jews, who, by the way, not directly, but the Jews paid his salary. He was over them. He was supposed to take control of the Jews, even though he was Roman. He was a Roman leader. But here he is. He's put in this place. The Jews want our Lord killed. And yet Pilate, as we're going to see in just a few minutes, Pilate says, he's not done anything wrong. I find no fault in him. Listen, I wrote down some of these. The Bible makes it clear that Pilate was assured that Jesus was an innocent man. Listen to these verses from the other Gospels. Matthew 27, verse 18. It says, he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate knew that the Jews wanted our Lord dead. Matthew 27, verse 24. Pilate says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. That's what he told him. Mark 15, verse 10, it says, for he, that's Pilate, knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. And then in Luke 23, verse 20, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, he was willing to let Jesus go. He couldn't see that Jesus had done anything whatsoever. And then in our text, the way he worded it was, I find in him no fault at all. And here in verse 34, our Lord is saying, well, what do you think? And I want you to know, friends, when you read God's word, not just to check off a box or whatever, but when you read God's word and you let God's Spirit speak to you, you know what our Lord is saying? Do you really believe this? Or are you just hearing other people say it, like our Lord said to Pilate? And so John presented all through this book, this man Jesus, all through this book as the God who deals with people's hearts. I could stand up here all my life and teach Sunday school, and if I had a heart that was not sincere before the Lord, it wouldn't do anybody one bit of good. As a church attender, as a church member, you could come to church and sit in your chair. And you could come three or four times a week. And if you were doing that, and God knows our motive, but if you were doing that for any other reason other than being sincere with God above, it'd be a waste of everybody's time. John tells us that it's awfully important for me to watch this heart right here. That's what we find out here. And our Lord's just throwing it back in Pilate's face. Do you really believe this thing, or are you just repeating it because other people are telling you? And Pilate gets defensive in verse 35. He says, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto thee. What hast thou done? Now, Pilate's dumbfounded. You know, he's out on a limb here. And he sees no reason to keep Jesus, but he knows the envy and the anger of the crowd. He's going to get him in trouble if he lets him go. And so Jesus answers in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence or here. That literally means it's not out of this world. Boy, aren't you glad it's not? I tell you what, if we pick up the newspaper, there are no more newspapers, but not very many anyway. We read the headlines and we see all this craziness and we see all this illogical thinking that's going on in our society. I want you to know, friends, that's no sign about God's kingdom. God's kingdom exists, and it has nothing to do with headlines. It has nothing to do with politics. Our society could cave in and get 10 times worse than it is today, and it might. We don't know. That doesn't change the kingdom of God any. God's still in control, just like he was in this chapter. He's standing before these people who want to put him to death, and he's calling the shots. You remember what he said about letting his disciples go in the first 12 verses? He says, you got me. You don't need these people. Well, actually, they did. According to Jewish law, they needed them as witnesses. But our Lord was in control of all of these events right here. So we have to live here, and it's a pleasure to enjoy the blessings of life. But as a Christian, we're not functioning in this world. We're, in fact, we've talked about those words for church, ecclesia. We're called out of the world into the kingdom of God. And so Pilate continues in verse 37. He says, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In the book of Psalms, you see so many psalms which describe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it'd be interesting to go through there because there's so many of them. But so many of them have to do with truth. You know, truth is something that's kind of a sideline in our society anymore. There's just not a ton of honesty around. We don't lead by honesty. We don't live by honesty. And here our Lord says, everyone that is of the truth is listening to me. That's what he said. That's what Jesus said. And Pilate says in verse 38, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Boy, I tell you what, it looks like Pilate was this close to doing another decision. It looks like this close that Pilate was just right there ready to do something, and yet he didn't. And because of that, we can call that disbelief, unbelief. He did not lay his final trust and faith in the man which we call Christ. And that's our greatest error in life, is not believing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not going to this church or that church, or not going to this or doing this or becoming this or whatever. No, our greatest error in life is going through life without ever placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I did that. I did that when I was 10. I did that when I was 40. I did that when I was 50, whatever. I'm talking about every day. The greatest blunder I could do as a child of God is not trust him. And we get busy, we get other things on our mind, and then we step away from him, and that makes it even worse, doesn't it? But he desires for us to lay our hope and our trust in him. And how can you make that hope and that trust even grow from day to day? Well, you get in his word. You allow God's spirit to move you. You allow God to talk to you. Here in just a few minutes. You know, we are so privileged here, and I got just a minute to talk here. We are privileged at Bible Baptist Church for this one reason. It's because we hear the Word of God. You know how many churches you could go to all over the place where you wouldn't hear that? And when Brother Chris gets up here in just a minute, you know Brother Chris. He's going to leave his opinions somewhere else, probably at home. And we're going to hear God's word. And that is a privilege for the child of God to attend God's house. As we've always said, there's a special dynamic when God's people get together and they submit themselves, they subject themselves to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And we have that privilege here in just a few minutes. Brother Albert, would you dismiss us, please, sir, in prayer?